Welcome to the topmost planet of this universe. A height to come where there is no dry philosophical speculation. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continues, thus being satisfied in all respects, the great mystic yogi Durvasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways, he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. Responsibly, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued. Thus being satisfied in all respects, the great mystic yogi Durvasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways, he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. Purport. Although Durvasa Muni went back to Brahmaloka through the spaceways, he did not need an airplane. The great mystic yogis can transport themselves from any planet to any other without any machine. There is a planet named Siddhaloka, whose inhabitants can go to any other planet because they naturally have all the perfection of yoga practice. Thus, Durvasa Muni, the great mystic yogi, could go through the skyways to any planet, even to Brahmaloka. In Brahmaloka, everyone is self-realized, and thus there is no need of philosophical speculation to come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Durvasa Muni's purpose in going to Brahmaloka was apparently to speak to the residents of Brahmaloka about how powerful a devotee is and how a devotee can surpass every living entity within this material world. The so-called jnanis and yogis cannot compare to a devotee. And the text again, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus being satisfied in all respects, the great mystic yogi Durvasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. Om Jnana Timaranda Sakinandana Shalakya Takshuram Nityam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vakam Kuroti Bhatulam Pankam Lam Geta Virim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dhinatarnam Vancha Kalpa Churuva Star Kipa Sinha Pareva Chap Nam Pavane Do Vaishnave Do Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Taitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasa Shri Gopatanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama. So this chapter is entitled Durvasa Muni's Life Spared. He was certainly on the hot plate, being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord Shri Vishnu. And finally, he got the information that he should go to the devotee of the Lord and beg forgiveness for his offenses and become freed from this difficult position. And here, at the end, Durvasa Muni is glorifying the king and giving him benediction. In the prior verse, all the blessed women in the heavenly planets will continuously chant about your spotless character at every moment, and the people of this world will also chant your glories continuously. So we appreciate that in this world, other worlds, this is considered a great sense gratification. I remember growing up rock music and rock concerts were the big rage, and several of my friends were very much enthused to somehow become expert musicians, and some would say that in this way I will have so many people glorifying me and giving me so much attention. It's a great sense gratification that. So he is being blessed by Durvasa Muni that all the blessed women in the heavenly planets will continuously chant about your spotless character at every moment, and the people of this world will also chant your glories continuously. Actually, there is a Vedic statement to the effect that what really is the use of, in an ordinary sense, what is the use of a human's activities if people do not speak highly of the pious and noble works that someone does. And that one should live one's life in such a way that after one's death, people will express appreciation that this soul did so much good work in this life, just in an ordinary sense. And then in the next verse, Dravasmuni leaves through the skyways. We have a skyway bridge near Sarasota, Florida, but it's not the same as the skyway which is being described here. Some of us may be familiar with the practices of mystic yoga, how it's possible for the subtle body to leave the gross body and travel. There are people, even now, who are able to do that to some extent. But long ago, when different age, different time, people had greater power. We know from Vedic literatures that as time goes on, the powers of the human being diminish. Mandasa mandamatiyo mandabhagya upajita. It's the last two lines. Someone know? Manda. Samanda Matiya Manda Bhagya Upadita. Oh, those are the last two? Oh, such as old age. That verse in the first canto there. In this age of Kali, decreasingly, ever increasingly, the strength, the health, the degree of peace, mental stability, it all decreases. So the living entity becomes very poor. And we understand that by nature, intrinsically, constitutionally, everyone has all mystic powers. Everyone is clairvoyant. Everyone can understand to some extent past, present, and future. But all these powers are covered by sinful activities now and in the past. And the proof of that is that when people purify their existence, their lifestyle, and come more and more into the mode of goodness, then these powers manifest. They manifest. There are people in this world who do manifest different degrees of the mystic powers by adjusting their lifestyle. So way back when, the yogis and the mystics, very, very powerful, and they're actually able to travel from planet to planet. Dravasmuni is doing so. And he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. The Sanskrit is ahaitukam, which Srila Prabhupada translates, where there is no dry philosophical speculation. The verse about pure devotional service. Alabhilashita shunyam janakam ajanavritam. Yes, ahaitukam. That without impediment, that the pure devotee serves Krishna for no material purpose, for no selfish purpose, and despite all impediments, carries on their glorification of Krishna. Pure devotional service, ahaitukam, without any opposition, without any absolute obstacle, and without cessation. So Srila Prabhupada translates this, where there is no dry philosophical speculation. We're reminded in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Lord Brahma, in chapter 14, long set of prayers, which it is said that there is a benefit by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, that if one hears that chapter repeatedly, one will be freed of the anartha of philosophical speculation. There are benedictions, actually, for hearing and chanting many of the different transcendental pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam. and the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna, there's benediction that if one hears them with devotion and sincerely, then one will be freed of various anarthas. Anartha of addiction to speculation, addiction to gross sense gratification, to envy, to greed. I don't remember how each of the pastimes correlate to each of the different contaminations, but they're there. So in that 14th chapter, Lord Brahma is speaking so many verses, wonderfully describing how the perfection of life is simply to throw away all attempts to understand the absolute truth, to understand God by one's mind or one's material intelligence, and simply hear the transcendental science of God in disciplic succession and to glorify Krishna like this. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he writes, in Brahmaloka everyone is self-realized, and thus there is no need of philosophical speculation to come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. So we hear this this point spoken on so many times that it's certainly not going to be possible to understand God simply by thinking about him or trying to imagine what he's like. It's simply impossible, because the Lord is spirit, pure spirit. And what can we see of spirit? We can see practically nothing. Practically nothing. We can simply guess. Maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that. The realm of impersonal spiritual life, there's simply negation that the absolute truth, the supreme consciousness, the supreme spiritual energy, it is not temporary. It is well, they put that in so many different ways. Without legs, without hands, without speech, without this, without that. It's without anything that you can see in this material world. It's sometimes put like that in the Vedic literatures. So in this way, people, yogis, devotees, impersonal, they can get some transcendentalists, not devotees, transcendentalists, can at least get some grasp of the understanding that that which is spiritual is beyond this material world. It's not like anything that we perceive in this material world. Of course, that does not leave anything positive, or very much positive. Simply there is some spiritual consciousness, some spiritual light, some Brahma Jyoti, which is eternal and it's effulgent and full of pure awareness like this. But there is not much positive. Vedanti tat tata vidas tatvam yajganam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shakite. Yet further on in the Vedic scriptures, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn that the absolute truth has different phases. Just like the sun has different phases. The sun is present as sunlight, the sun is the sun globe, and then within the sun globe we have the sun god. The different phases of the same thing. Just like sometimes we may speak with someone of a different religious system, and they're saying God is like this and God is like that, and we don't necessarily have to disagree with them. Don't necessarily have to immediately try and defeat them or refute them. Rather, another tactic which might be beneficial for them is yes, God is love. God is everything. God is the mother. God is the sky. Yes. And, very powerful word, and. And he's much more than that. And we can give the example that just as two or three different people may approach a mountain from a distance and describe the mountain in different ways, that, it's a dark shape in the distance. Yes, that's completely correct. And someone who comes a little closer, well, it's a tall hill and it has trees on it. Yes, that's exactly correct. No problem. And if you get very close and start walking on the mountain, then you see the different squirrels and the flowers and the butterflies, whatever. So it is all correct, but from different perspectives. So the final perspective, or most detailed perspective of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Bhagavan and his personal feature. As Sri Krishna describes to Arjuna in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratistaham, that this Brahman, which people are so fond of, some people, are so fond of this Brahman effulgence and spiritual light and Brahma Jyoti, it is subordinate to me. And recently I was just, for the heck of it, so to speak, I was looking at different Bhagavad Gitas to see how varied the translations were. And almost every one of them that I ran across has the same translation, in essence, where Lord Krishna says that the Brahman effulgence is subordinate to me. So it's very, very interesting to my mind how it is that although different spiritual camps present the Bhagavad Gita so literally, in many cases almost exactly the same as our Bhagavad Gita as it is, somehow it doesn't go any further than their pen in many instances. If there's no devotion that manifests from it, it's mystical, actually, I think. Very magical. That the thing is right before their eyes, but somehow it doesn't click in their heart. Just like we have the word ignition. So we know ignition, that you flick the lighter and it ignites. Long time ago, cars also, they had this, of course they have ignition now, but long time ago they had manual ignition. You would turn the crank of the car and you would push the button inside and hopefully you would get ignition. It would ignite. Or they had these even more dangerous as the airplanes and the propellers. They would have to manually spin the propeller and then would catch, and hopefully it would ignite. And hopefully you didn't get in the way and get your head chopped off. So ignition. And then we have the word cognition, which is a kind of psychic ignition, where there's a kind of, oh, I get it. Yeah, we have ignition. We have cognition, where our heart, our very being, actually realizes the truth about something. The opposite of that is the mode of ignorance. We remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Śrīla Prabhupāda describes that in the mode of ignorance, there's consciousness, but there's no activity. Sometimes I catch myself influenced with the mode of ignorance. I'm aware there's a piece of paper on the floor, and really I should pick it up. No reason why I shouldn't pick it up, but I just kind of ignore it and keep walking. So that's called the mode of ignorance, that there's consciousness of something which is true and deserves attention and deserves possibly some action, but it doesn't happen. So that's called the mode of ignorance. And then in the mode of passion, what happens when there's awareness of something which is true, but the influence of Rajagun is there? What's an example of that? Anyone can raise your hand. What's an example? Someone is aware of something which is true, but due to the influence of Rajagun, the mode of passion, not much happens, or not enough. Trivikram? Too busy to bother with it, right? Bhagavad Gita explains that the mode of passion, because it's too troublesome. It's too troublesome to get up and chant my rounds, or it's just too much trouble to just control myself and do this activity very carefully, very patiently. I just want to go and eat. I just want to go and do this, or I want to go and do that. The mind is pushing so many passionate ideas. And on the basis of that passion, truth gets run over like a bulldozer sometimes. And in the mode of ignorance, it just gets ignored. So we have Bhagavad Gita, and we have Sri Krishna, and so many different incarnations appearing in this material realm to broadcast transcendental knowledge, which is the absolute truth, which is the very reality of life. This in Brahmaloka, everyone is self-realized, and thus there is no need of philosophical speculation to come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. And this absolute truth, we hear Srila Prabhupada explain, and we hear the Vaishnava Acharyas explain, even we hear other religious systems explain this very simple thing, that God is great and we're very small. And just as the hand is part of the body, so we are part of the supreme absolute truth. And there's nothing but the supreme personality of Godhead. Very simple, common sense sort of understanding. But it doesn't get, we don't see devotion manifesting nearly as much as it should. Why? You know, why the living entities are not appreciating Krishna? Why the living entities are not taking to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya? We're appreciating to one extent or the other. But why not everyone? Why are people's hearts seemingly so averse and they're so busy in philosophical speculation? Well, I wonder what God is. Here in the temple we're worshipping Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Sri Nisinga Dev. And we're seeing through the eyes of the scripture, and to one degree or the other we're experiencing the reality of devotion, devotional life, of the presence of Krishna, the reality of Krishna. But not everyone is so interested, and not everyone is as enthused to do that. Rather, so much speculation. I remember watching the video of Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, where he would have conversations outside in what was called the Rose Garden, and some different theologians came. And so Srila Prabhupada was saying that, so we're presenting Krishna. Here is God. Do you know who God is? Like that. And they could not reply. They did not say anything concrete. They just kind of mumbled and didn't say anything. He said, well, if you have nothing positive to present, what is God, then just take this. Take Krishna. He is the supreme personality of Godhead, like that. So the modes of material nature are so powerful. This material energy is so powerful. We've been in this material world for so long. The tendency to be drone to sleep by the mode of ignorance and to be distracted by material sense gratification is very deep. Therefore, that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vita Ragabhaya Krodha Matmaya Mama Pashitaha Bhavo Gyana Tapasa Puta Mad Bhavam Agataha. That when one is freed of fear and anger and lust, having performed austerities and penances and purified the heart, one can develop full love for me. Madhavam agata. But there's a qualification of purifying the heart. Purifying the heart. Both Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada discuss how really there's no such thing as agnostics and atheists. There really aren't. There may be a few. But mostly, all there is are different spirit souls whose hearts are overcome with lust and greed and attachment and envy. And because of the influence of these different contaminations of the heart, then the heart is averse to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains this in Bhagavad Gita. That in the mode of passion and ignorance, automatically, doesn't matter whether you like it, don't like it, believe it, don't believe it, doesn't matter what thoughts go through the mind, it's a mechanical thing. In the modes of passion and ignorance, automatically the heart is not attracted to the absolute truth, attracted to the scripture, attracted to the great saints. It's a kind of automatic thing. And in the mode of goodness, increasingly, as knowledge is cultivated and as purity of heart is cultivated, then automatically the heart becomes more and more attractive. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the medicine, Harinama Mahamantra, loyal to me, Magi. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has glorified. Lord Chaitanya has brought the medicine that you're bound to this ignorance and laziness and lethargy, and you're bound to this passion and desire for sense gratification. Your heart is not nearly as attracted to Krishna as it should be, or as you might want it to be. So take this Maha Mantra and purify your heart so that your original life will become awakened. So in Brahma Loka, everyone is awakened to the original life. And this is our presentation, that Krishna consciousness is not this Hare Krishna movement. It is not simply some faith and, well, some people believe it, some people don't, or well, some people are into it, some people aren't into it, and sentimental expressions like that. But rather, it is the absolute truth. It's just a question of where a person's heart stands in relation to it. And we have the fortune to have the opportunity to uncover our own original consciousness and offer other people the opportunity to uncover their original consciousness through the chanting of Hare Krishna, and hearing Bhagavad Gita, and dancing and chanting, all the different wonderful practices that have been given to us. So Srila Prabhupada concludes that the so-called jnanis and yogis cannot compare to a devotee. Ambarish Maharaj was so powerful that actually he was able to overcome the influence of a great, great mystic yogi like Devas Muni. He simply depended upon the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by dint of his devotion, everything was taken care of eventually, ultimately. Devas Muni's power as a great mystic yogi was not able to overcome, was not able to hurt Ambarish Maharaj. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says that one who surrenders unto me can become free from the influence of the material nature. And that's a very amazing scientific experiment, actually. Because we see how people, anyone, I'm sure anyone, or most people, if they're honest, would admit that my heart, my very soul of my being is controlled and influenced in so many different ways, in so many different times. So many times I had my New Year's Eve resolutions, and within a short period of time, I wasn't following them. Many people, most people have that experience. How they're under the control of a higher power. And especially for the transcendentalists who are trying to engage their senses in the service of Krishna, instead of engaging their senses and trying to satisfy the senses. It is a struggle. It can be a struggle. And to the extent that we take shelter of Krishna, manmana baba madvato majidi man namaskuru, bowing down to him, absorbing our heart in him, worshipping him like this, then we practically experience how we become free to one degree or the other of the influence of the modes of material nature. Can appreciate the position of Krishna, that he who is speaking this Bhagavad Gita, he's actually in control of the material energy. Because if I surrender to him and I act according to his directions, things happen. There's no other way to explain it. It's a kind of scientific experiment. Here is this personality who's speaking Bhagavad Gita. In so many places in Bhagavad Gita, he directs Sri Krishna, that if you do like this, you'll obtain peace. If you do like this, you'll obtain peace. If you do like this, you become transcendental. So we can put it to experiment. It's not simply a matter of believing or simply a matter of faith. Well, you just believe something. Yes, we believe something on the basis of experience, too. so I'll stop here. Some discussion or comments? Questions? Shivik Rampapu?
Keep the ball rolling. So two questions. The Christians would say Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to this. How would you answer them? That's the first one. And the second one is, if all the residents in Brahmaloka are self-realized, then what do they lack to go back to the spiritual world?
Good questions. There's different ways it could be answered. From an academic point of view, the original Aramaic, if we go to the library and study it, the actual translation, general translation, is that no one can go to the Father unless one is of the Father. That's the actual fact. And for political purposes, maybe that was adjusted so that it's more dogmatic and more stereotyped. But academically, that's the truth of that. And then from a logical point of view, it just doesn't make sense that in all of eternity, eternity is a long time. I mean, even a billion years is a long time. A quadrillion years, an octillion years. A Google is a kind of a, it's just, so all of it, and that's not even eternity. So in all of eternity, there's one, it just doesn't make sense. And it's just born out of emotions and feelings and all that. We may not be able to say that, but that's what it is. And then the other question is that if everyone is self-realized, what are they lacking? I seem to remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the comment is made that at the time of devastation, the residents of Brahmaloka, they go back to Godhead along with Lord Brahma. Siddhi Muni, you're shaking your head. Yeah. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada, Kitab.